Hello there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. I'm so happy that you're here and want to congratulate and thank you for saying yes to the possibility of attracting the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I don't just want you to get a guy, but rather I want you to be with a guy who's right for you and to be in a relationship that makes your heart sing. I'm very passionate about helping single women who want to meet and attract your right guy because of my own journey to meeting and attracting my own Mr. Right and becoming an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. I want to assure you that you are in the right place if you're tired of wondering why you're still single, sick of feeling alone or lonely, disappointed about the men you meet, frustrated about how past relationships have gone for you, wondering what is holding you back or standing in the way of you having the relationship of your dreams, starting to doubt if your right guy really exists out there, and finally, if you're really ready to meet and attract the right guy for you, then I want to assure you that you are in the right place. This virtual gathering is designed to help you see what is really possible for you, to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to your right guy. And I'm thrilled to tell you that I have gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance to help you meet and attract your own right guy. I'm thrilled and honored to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. It's my privilege to introduce and to interview our wonderful guest, Heather Hantz. Heather, welcome.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I'm honored to be here.
We're so excited to have you here. And before we get started, I'd just like to share with you a little bit more about Heather. Heather Hantz is a mystical healer of loving energy for the heart, mind, body, and soul. She is a licensed social worker, psychotherapist, and a teacher of love. She left a successful career as a certified public accountant and university lecturer to pursue her passion of sharing the healing powers of love. Heather has a zest for wellness, self-development, and universal harmony, which she has nurtured through 15 years of studying holistic healing and relationship building. She holds a master's degree in social work and in business administration, and a certificate in holistic health. She is a certified professional intuitive coach and certified law of attraction advanced practitioner. Heather has been traveling a journey of spiritual awakening and has combined her gifts, pain, and story to emerge as a channel for the divine to help people feel love using her internet TV channel, Heather Hantz TV. Heather facilitates health and healing on all levels to create total well-being and lead people to experiencing more love in their hearts. She uses her expertise in the mind-body-spirit connection to empower people to resolve physical and emotional conflicts and discover the importance of thoughts, feelings, and actions in achieving their goals. Heather's spiritual path is the cornerstone of her life and work. In over 15 years of diverse spiritual and religious study, she has been trained by the top mental health and spiritual leaders of the world. With a connection to divine energy as a foundation, coupled with physical and mental health expertise, her audience is led to healthy and satisfying relationships with themselves and others. We're really excited about having you here today, Heather, and really appreciate your generosity in sharing your wisdom and knowledge with our listeners, and know it's going to be of great benefit.
Thank you so much. It's being of service is why I'm here.
Thank you. So our topic today is letting go of unworthiness in preparation of true love. And before we get into our discussion on this in a deep level, Heather, I wonder if you could just share with our listeners a little bit more about you. And I know we talked some in your introduction about how you were led into this work, but tell us a little bit more about your own journey and how you came to do the work that you do.
Sure. Well, part of it is innate. I, throughout my life, have heard from people that probably the most common thing I've heard from people is that I have a lot of love in my heart. Coupled with the fact that my journey has been plagued with many challenges and different types of relationship challenges. And so through that journey, I have learned a lot about what love really is, what a healthy relationship really looks like. And I just finished writing a book called The Heart of Self-Love. And the reason that book was important for me to write is that I believe that this is that our relationship with ourselves is the primary relationship. And when that is healthy and strong, we're able to be in a loving relationship with a partner. And when that's not, it's hard to have any kind of satisfying relationship. And I've found that in my own life, and particularly with women, that unworthiness and low self-esteem is a big obstacle to having love with oneself and with a partner who's right for them. And I love how you emphasize that. So my journey has been about self-love and learning how to deeply love and honor myself and my connection with a power greater than myself. And then from that place, attracting healthy relationships on all levels with all types of people. So my work for the past, well, really my whole life has been about how do I love myself more deeply, not in a place of egotistical pride, but in a place of tenderness, and how do I know that I am worthy of experiencing a great relationship. When we don't have that, an experience of that, I didn't have that kind of male role model in my life, and I, throughout my childhood, had some very painful things that happened, and so I didn't know how to be treated well, and so I didn't. You know, that was normal to me to not be treated well by men in particular. And so I feel like once a woman has that piece in place, then she magnetizes a right partner. But really, I still feel like that piece is really the most fulfilling, because we were born alone and we die alone. And the sweetest romance we'll ever have is the one with ourself. That's my opinion.
Mm. Thank you so much. That was so beautifully said, and really appreciate you sharing a little bit more about your personal journey. And I know that you have quoted Sophia Loren's statement that nothing makes a woman more beautiful than the belief that she is beautiful. How does a woman grow to believe that she is beautiful? Because, you know, in the world we live in today, that seems to be, we seem to live in a world of so much comparison, and you know, it's easy to see what we don't consider beautiful in ourselves. But how does a woman come to believe that she is beautiful?
I look at the whole picture of a person's life, and everything in our lives originates with a thought in our minds. Everything we create, everything we manifest, our worldview, it all starts with a thought in our mind. So the belief, a belief is actually a thought. And we have power through our own free will to change our thoughts. We can change them once we become conscious of them. So sometimes we have thoughts or voices in our heads, or we view the world a certain way and we don't even realize we're doing it because we're all kind of living in our own minds all the time. And so we don't realize sometimes that we're just seeing the world through our own perspective, and we may not even see that that perspective is diminished or littler than we really are. So to Sophia Loren's statement that nothing makes a woman more beautiful than the belief that she is beautiful, it's really about looking at our own beliefs. Do we believe that we are beautiful inside and out? And I can tell you, I mean, even in my own personal experience, I tend to attract younger people. And I have attracted younger men in my life, and always what they've said and what I've known, what I feel in my gut, why is that? It's because of my belief and my confidence level that I have nurtured over the years, that sometimes when someone's younger, they may not have, or if they have low self-esteem, they don't have that. But that charisma, that magic sparkle dust that we feel when we're attracted to someone, usually is much more than how they look. It's usually a vibe that they're putting off, and a confidence level that they have, a presence about them. So how does someone start to believe that they're beautiful? Well, it's not just a magic pill, although what I have learned is that we can change our beliefs in an instant. So it doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out process over many years of growing your self-esteem. We can change it in an instant by changing our belief. But when we have a certain ingrained way of thinking, sometimes we have to keep practicing that new belief. It's like forming a new habit. Just try it on for size. I am beautiful. I am beautiful. And keep saying it to yourself, and it's like if you don't feel it, act like you're playing a role in a movie. No one's watching you, so you can have fun with it and don't be self-conscious. And just pretend like you are this beautiful goddess inside and out, and repeat it over and over. Habits are formed by repetition. And if you look in the media, even though we're bombarded with these images of physicality, you know, what's physically mm-hmm. beautiful, there's also, you'll notice, people who are really powerful in what they do, people who are really connected to their work, people who are really bold, people who are present, they have a beauty about them, no matter what they look like. And so that's another thing that I would suggest is study different people. Study what makes a person beautiful. When you find someone you're attracted to, look deeply and think, you know, examine what it is that you find attractive about them. Because we all learn from other people as well, and that's one way I've learned with whatever goal I have in my life, is learn from people who've done it and emulate them until it becomes ingrained in you.
Thank you so much. I love that term sparkle dust, by the way. I thought that was a really neat term, because I just thought, you know, you're right when you say beauty is about so much more than just the physical attributes that a woman possesses. And we've all, I know, known or come in contact with people that maybe are not as, you know, considered to be as physically beautiful as,
you know, some others in terms of the world standards, and yet they do have, you know, this magnetism and this attractiveness and, you know, what you might have called sparkle dust. So it's really an interesting concept to think about, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's seeing what's the unseen realm.
Right.
You know, more than meets the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know, Heather, you've seen in your work that low self-esteem is often the root of people's problems. How would you say love relationships are affected by low self-esteem?
Well, I've seen that this to be a problem that's pretty rampant, that people with low self-esteem believe that having the ideal partner or relationship is going to fix their low self-esteem, and that they'll suddenly feel better about themselves or their lives if a partner comes in and does that for them. And it just never works. It doesn't work that way. It's an inside-out job. And it's really not fair to a partner either to say, I'm empty, come fill me, because that's not their job, and they can't do that. I've seen people who have such low self-esteem that no matter what someone says or does, it doesn't help them. They need to help themselves. It's like someone with an addiction problem. Yes, you can get help and support people and love along the way, but it's really up to us to help ourselves. And low self-esteem, I believe, is a mental and spiritual disease that's really prevalent. And so when we go to someone else to fix us, or we don't take care of our own needs and want someone else to do it, it's a setup for us and for the other person, and it usually backfires and blows up in some way. And then also, you have to think energy attracts like energy. This is a law of quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have really low self-esteem, chances are you're not going to attract someone with high self-esteem. So then you have two people with low self-esteem coming together, which is doubly difficult. It may be fun at first when there's that romance, but for the long haul, then you're dealing with double the problems, because both people are suffering from this ailment. That's the way I see it. And and they're trying to, you know, figure it out together. And it's, you know, relationships do take energy, even when both partners are healthy and functioning well. And so if you're starting with your gas tank on empty and you're trying to help another car along, it's just a recipe for disaster. And it can lead to codependence, which is when you need someone else to act or be a certain way in order for you to feel okay. And we don't want to be dependent like that, because that's really disempowering.
Yeah, and I would think that this low self-esteem is part of the feeling of unworthiness. You know, having a low self-esteem may create, you know, or at least enhance those feelings of unworthiness or undeservingness that can come up in, you know, in our psyche, so to speak, as we explore, you know, finding a relationship.
Definitely. And that reminds me of an important point, which is when we feel unworthy, we have a hard time accepting gifts and blessings that do come our way, because we don't feel like we're worth it or we deserve it. And so sometimes we close the door on goodness that comes our way. So if we're in a place of low self-esteem, it's almost hard for us to even take in something that could be a good relationship, because we subconsciously sabotage ourselves when we're in that place, and
mm-hmm.
we could, you know, find something wrong with it, or just shut it down in some way. So it's important to fill our own gas tank first, so we're ready to go and we have something to give and we're open to receiving, because that's what love is. It's a circulation of energy, and it needs to be given and received. And we can do that when we have a full tank. And not to put some high expectation on people, like you have to have the best self-esteem in the world and be operating at 100% all the time, but definitely more than 50%, and, you know, overall feeling generally worthy.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said that it doesn't have to be perfect all the time, because that sort of feels like overwhelming, I think, for the normal woman that, you know, struggles with this. So I'm glad that you said that way.
Yeah.
And that leads nicely into the next question I'd like to ask you, which is, you know, what are some concrete steps that women can take to improve their confidence and to help draw in or magnetize the right partner for them?
I look at life from a holistic perspective, and the book I just wrote actually broke each of these pieces down into chapters. And it's important to look at concrete steps, because love is an abstract kind of concept and it's not tangible. And maybe it's my business background, I don't know, but I like to look at really what can we do to get from point A to point B. And one of the things that we can do is to take care of our bodies, our physical vessel that we have to carry us through this life. When we exercise our bodies and nurture them with wholesome foods, it gives us fuel and it helps fill that gas tank. It's kind of like the basic, very basic gas that we need for our cars, if you think of our bodies like a car. And when we don't feel well physically, it's very difficult to feel loving or loved or any of those warm feelings, because we are distracted by symptoms, physical symptoms, like, you know, when you're tired and you feel really irritable, if you don't get enough sleep, or if you're not exercising, it could lead to depression. You might feel sluggish, and it really messes with your brain chemistry. And same with food. What we put in our bodies has a huge impact on how we see the world and our energy level throughout the day. So to me, that's one of the building blocks, concrete step, is taking care of your body so you're not distracted and it's actually working for you rather than against you. And another thing that I believe is worthwhile is education. And education can be in the form of formal education or self-study. But whenever we want to learn about something or master it, it's helpful to learn everything we can about it. So if someone's wanting to improve their self-esteem, I recommend really delving into and exploring what the experts say, and it doesn't all have to be heady like books, but you can interview people, you can ask people questions, but knowledge is power, and the more education we have, usually the more empowered we feel in our lives. So that is another concrete step. Mental health and spiritual health are huge also. So with spiritual health, when we feel connected with something bigger than ourselves, and that looks different for different people. It could be their own religious practice. It could be their personalized spiritual practice. It could be volunteering at the animal shelter. It could be attending a support group. Anything that leads you to feeling a part of life, a part of the bigger whole, is something that nurtures your sense of belonging and your sense of meaning in life. They've done studies on people who kind of at the end of their life asking participants to describe what it is that makes life worth living, and it's having some meaning bigger than themselves, something to live for. When we have that in us, when we feel connected to something bigger, in whatever way feels right to us, however we do that, that helps us feel confident. It helps us feel connected. Love is about connection. So when we feel connected to something, it helps increase the feeling of love that we have within ourselves. So that is what I call spiritual health. And then and mental health is another big component, and I think the low self-esteem falls into mental health. But I am a licensed psychotherapist, although I don't work one-on-one much anymore, but I have had a lot of therapy in my life and coaching, and it's been incredibly valuable to have someone who's skilled and trained to help you and be witness to some of the issues that you're working on, and someone who can see the best in you and reflect back to you your own goodness. That goes a long way towards these beliefs that we carry in our mind about our own worth. And because I don't want to make the answer to this question too long, I just want to throw out one more concrete thing people can do, and that is to make sure to laugh and also have sensual pleasure in your life. Enjoy life. We don't want it to be all work and all a chore. We are living this earthly existence, which is full of sensual experiences, being able to use our senses, being able to laugh and play, and all of those things help renew our energy. They help us come up with creative solutions to our problems. They help us relax, and it just feels good and brings a smile to our face. So those are some of the concrete tips I would recommend for people working on raising their belief systems and their self-esteem.
Thank you so much, Heather. I really appreciate that you, offered some concrete steps that the women listening to this call can walk away with. And I really love that you mentioned, the importance of laughter and joy in our lives. I think sometimes that, this whole concept of finding love can take a bit of an ominous overtone in our lives, and all of the joy and fun can get sucked out of it.
Right.
And so I like that you mentioned that and the importance of having that, as a part of our overall life.
Definitely.
Certainly enhances the quality of our lives as well as our relationships. So how can a woman position themselves to accept and receive a loving relationship once they attract it?
Well, that is important, because we attract something and then we want to make sure that we can receive it. So like I said, people with low self-worth generally have a hard time accepting goodness when it comes to them, and usually this is unconscious. They repel it unconsciously, and they don't let it in. And I've seen this over and over, and I've seen it in myself too. And So we want to make sure that we have our hearts and arms open to receive this loving relationship. One way is to, A Course in Miracles calls this a miracle, a shift in perception. When we could view something very differently. You could have the same situation and view it two different ways. So this is back to the thoughts in our mind and our perception of things. So let's say that you attract something and then you immediately start to see what's wrong with it, at a situation or a person, potential partner. You might attract exactly what you wanted and then start to pick it apart or pick him apart and find all of the ways that it doesn't work. And that's one way people repel love, is this kind of nitpicky perfectionism, which usually they do with themselves too. We do with ourselves, finding the flaws in ourselves. And it doesn't mean there aren't flaws. I mean, we all have flaws, and what we may be seeing about a potential partner or a new situation may be accurate. I'm not saying ignore your intuition, but open yourself up to the other side too, because there are always two sides, and look at what part of your prayer is being answered. How is your prayer being answered? We attract what we desire, but a lot of times people don't see it that way. They will continually say, oh, here I am again in the same situation, and I can't seem to attract true love. And but if you look closely, we get what we desire. So maybe it was, if you get something and you're not, it doesn't feel like exactly what you want, maybe you've raised your standards. So by the time you've attracted it, it's not what you want anymore. But to position yourself means to realize you really do hold the power, more power than you think you do. And I remember one of my mentors said to me one time, long time ago, I was struggling, and I think I was not in a relationship at the time. I was struggling, and he said, "Heather, every time you've wanted to be in a relationship, you have been. And when you haven't," I think I wasn't in a relationship and I wanted to be or something. He said, "Every time you've wanted to be, you have been." But meanwhile, I was playing the victim, like, oh, why can't I be in a relationship? Well, it was because I really, deep down, didn't have the space for it in my life at that time. But I kind of reverted back to this victim mentality. So, long-winded question, but to position yourself, it goes back to the worthiness piece again, and knowing that your prayers are being answered. And the gracious thing to do is to accept them. Accept the goodness that comes your way and see the goodness that comes your way rather than trying to pick it apart.
I love that. So if you were to say, choose something, what would you say is the most important thing that a woman can do to improve her chances of meeting her true love?
Oh, I love this question, because in my opinion, the answer is to live a full life, live your best life, rather than grasping for something outside of you and trying to follow all the right steps to get true love into your life. Live a life that you love for you, not for anyone else, for you. And then you attract it. That's that sparkle dust. You magnetize it because you are living a life that is truthful, that's bringing you joy, that allows you to feel meaning. All of those things bring contentment. And you can have a prayer, you know, you could still have a prayer that you want to meet the right person. You would love to share your life with the right person. But to really focus on your own life, regardless whether or not you had another person in it. So I really like that, because you would be doing this even if you weren't trying to attract a true love. It's like something you're doing for yourself regardless. You're living your best life, and that sounds kind of cliche, but you're doing everything in your life that you want to be doing, rather than holding this empty hole waiting for someone to come fill it and complete it. Yeah, that's what I would recommend.
I love that. I love that. And who doesn't want to be surrounded by sparkle dust anyway, right?
That's right.
So you also say that romantic love is only one part of love. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. I get this all the time in my work because of how much I talk about love, and people always tend to assume I mean romantic love. Love is huge. It's huge, and it encompasses so many different parts of love. Romantic love is one way that we experience divinity here on earth. It's a way that we are able to give and receive with another person. It's one expression of love among many. There, you can do that with animals too. Share love with an animal, even plants respond. Any kind of living being is an entity that you can with which you can experience love. There's the self-love piece that we're talking about, really learning how to nurture yourself. There's the love of a child. For me as a mother, that's the closest thing I know to godly love, is the love I have for my child. There's love in the way that we go about even the most mundane tasks, like doing dishes or sweeping your floor. This is why monks are trained to do very mundane tasks, to learn how to be present and loving with them. It doesn't really matter what act you're doing, what physical act, whether it's making love to a partner or sweeping your kitchen floor. It's the same kind of principle, that we are alive, awake, present. We're treating it with tender, loving care. We're sensitive. Those are all expressions of love. And usually loving people are loving towards everything. You don't usually find someone with a wonderfully loving romantic relationship and everything else in their life is harsh and messy. It's usually when we are embodying love, we are, radiating ourselves, and we're also treating everything that comes our way with love. Like, do you smile at someone when you walk by them on the street? Do you thank someone if they give you a gift? All of these little things, we have an infinite number of possibilities every single day that we can experience love. And if we tap into those, we don't feel as lacking for that romantic piece, which then makes us more attractive, because we are experiencing love throughout the day in even the littlest forms.
Wow, I love that answer. That was so interesting. So interesting to think about, doing everything
in our lives with love, and even those mundane tasks that you're talking about. That's a very interesting concept to think about.
Yeah, it's almost like we have that ability at our fingertips at every moment to be loving and to receive love. So, you know, when someone does something that's a loving act, as little as it might be, to really let it penetrate us, it's a gift of love.
Yeah. So I know, Heather, that you're aware of some research that has been done on different individuals' relationship patterns, and wonder if you could share a little bit about that with us.
Sure. I was trained in attachment theory in my psychotherapy training, and that research was done predominantly by Doctors Bowlby and Ainsworth, psychiatrists and a psychologist, and they studied infants and their attachment patterns with their parents, their primary caregiver, which was usually the mother, and they found that different types of behavior patterns formed in these infants depending on how attuned their primary caregiver was to them. And so when a primary caregiver attends to the baby's needs in a consistent way, usually that baby feels loved and they develop in a healthy way as far as their relationships. When the caregiver is unpredictable, or when the caregiver is harsh in their responses, when the caregiver is neglectful and doesn't respond, it causes stress in the infant, and then the infant then begins to form relationship patterns that it then carries with it as it gets older, and you'll find these patterns still kind of ingrained in them once they get to adulthood and they're trying to work it out through romantic relationships. So, you know, someone who is left to cry constantly, an infant who's left to cry constantly, would learn that their primary caretaker is not trustworthy, is not going to be there for them, and so it learns how to adapt, and eventually it stops crying. So all of these patterns are kind of ingrained in the very early parts of our lives, and so we always have the ability to change, always. It's important to know, knowledge is power, so it's important to know what it was like for us as infants so we can identify those patterns and work with them and work on changing or overcoming them. Because if we don't know, then we're probably acting unconsciously, and we could go through a series of relationships acting out the same pattern over and over and being frustrated and not really understanding that we're playing out this pattern, as is the other person, from when we were infants. So it's something to be aware of, not to be discouraged by if you didn't have the perfect parenting, because most people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be aware of and to really look at how did my primary parent respond to me, and how has that affected my relationships?
Yeah. I think there's a lot that can be discovered with that question. And as you already mentioned earlier in the call, you know, sometimes it requires us getting some support in terms of therapy or coaching or counseling to be able to, you know, not only recognize what has occurred earlier in our lives, but to be able to move forward through that.
Right.
And I think we probably agree on this. I think, you know, the healthiest of people are those that can recognize that they sometimes need that kind of help or support.
Absolutely. It's a sign of strength And I think there still is a little stigma with it, but it's really a big step for a person to say, I need help and support, because we all do. We all are interconnected and we can help each other. It's a way. It's actually a way of saying I am worth it. I am worthy enough to get help, you know, to help myself here.
Yeah, and also, as you mentioned, you know, how many of us really grew up in fully functional families? You know, I remember one counselor that I had spoken to at one point said, you know, 99% of people either grew up in dysfunctional families or really, really dysfunctional families.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, it is so true. So how can people use past relationships to serve them in creating a satisfying relationship?
Oh, this is all about the silver lining. And I view life as a process of self-discovery and self, it's almost like we're refining ourselves throughout our lives through experience. We get to know ourselves through experience. And all of those past relationships help us know ourselves. So they're really meant to be used for us, rather than to look back with bitterness about something not working out. They're really gifts for us to say, wow, what did I get out of that relationship? What did I learn about myself in that relationship? Because it was here to teach me something, and I learned something about myself. Even if it's, you know, I know that I don't want to be with this kind of person, or I know that these are my values now because I was with someone who either had those or didn't have those, and it became clear to me that those values of mine are really strong. Comparison is how we learn oftentimes, and it's like we don't know light without darkness. We don't know sunshine without rain. It's that similar kind of concept that if we look back and we see even the things we didn't like or the things that didn't work, that helps us to know what really does work, and it helps us refine our preferences and our definition of ourselves and how what's important to us and how we experience life. So they're for sure here as gifts. They're never meant to be looked back on with bitterness or as a failure. That's like the worst thing I feel like people could say when their relationship ends or their marriage ends, that it was a failure. It was not a failure. People are not damaged. Relationships are not failures. They are part of that refining process, and they're here really to serve us.
Yeah, I love that perspective, and I think that our, you know, if we can look at what is valuable or what we have gained or what we have learned from relationships, and you know, focus on, you know, the fact that this is part of our growth and part of our journey. And like you said, not view disappointments or things that didn't go as we thought they might as failures. I think that can help propel us into greater possibility. And certainly, you know, we're walking away from almost any of those experiences with a greater wisdom.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's the goal.
Yeah. And you know, relationships, and, you know, you, I think, would probably agree with me, relationships are never something that we fully master, right? There's always more to learn and always more growth.
That's such a good point. That's so true. They're really like living, breathing entities.
So, Heather, I'm curious if you believe that there is a right time to fall in love.
Yes, I absolutely do. I've studied numerology and anthroposophy, which is what Waldorf schools are based on, and all sorts of different philosophies about the timing and life cycle of life. And even if you look at nature, the circadian rhythm, which all human organisms operate under this rhythm, you'll see there's a time for everything. The sun comes up at a certain time every day. The seasons change at a certain time every year. There's a rhythm to life. And at certain points in our lives, we are focused on different things naturally. So at a certain point, you may be focused heavily on your career. At a certain point, you may be very inwardly focused and, you know, maybe just wanting to avoid a lot of social engagements and do some reading, do some spiritual soul searching, things like that. And then there are also times that are prime for falling in love. And so I absolutely do think that there's a time for everything, including falling in love, and that it doesn't need to be manipulated. It's kind of a natural flow. And there are tools that can assist you in finding where you are in your life cycle. Also, if you really, really tune in to yourself and your life, you'll usually know if it's the right time or not. It's so easy to want to fall in love, but sometimes we have some things going on in our life that need tending to, or just not quite the right time. So I do believe that, and I've found that to be true in my life, and I think that looking at that, those rhythms can help us live a life of more ease.
Yeah, thank you. I think that, some of this inner work that we've been talking about, I think it's important to pay attention to your own intuition as to whether, you know, there needs to be some inner work done before you seek to bring a partner into the relationship. I know for myself, a big part of my own journey of ultimately meeting and attracting the love of my life was, you know, a journey, an extensive journey of some inner work that needed to be done, and it created and opened up a whole new possibility of, what is now possible for me in terms of a relationship. And had I not done that, there's no way I would have met or attracted my husband that I've now, enjoyed a little over 7 years of marriage with. Mm-hmm. So I think that you're right. I think that, there can be timing that, in part we have to be in tune with what's going on with our own selves, our own hearts, our own bodies, our own spirits, to determine if we're ready for falling in love.
Definitely. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think it's such a key piece, and it requires some patience, to know that it's coming, it will come. It's a matter of when and doing what we need to do first. That what you're talking about is kind of that positioning piece, positioning ourselves to be in the right place. And I was just talking to a friend I hadn't talked to in a while, and she ended up falling in love with someone who she had known for years, and they would have never thought. They had known each other many years, and now they've been together a while. And so that was clearly some kind of timing, appropriate timing there. So just to have faith, that's a big piece of patience, having faith that, everything happens in due time.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that holding on to that faith and the hope can, help us keep going in those moments when, it seems like, how could love ever really be present in my life? I know, for myself, there were times that I thought, I just can't even
see how this would be possible. Our faith or our hope wears thin, but as long as we can hang on to even a little bit of that, it helps us to keep going and moving forward, right?
Definitely. Oh, my goodness. What would we do without that little bit of hope? You know, you just need a little sometimes. It can go a long way.
Right. So some of the listeners may not have actually had an experience of true love or even a satisfying relationship. Can you share just a little bit more about what you think is possible for them and what they can expect when it comes to a loving relationship?
Sure. I believe anything is possible, and this is another shift in perception that if you look at your own belief system, what do you believe is possible? You can tell how limited your thinking is if you have a limited answer to that question. But if you believe that anything is possible, well, then it is. If you believe that it's not, then it's not, because there are many different truths according to whose eyes you're looking out of. And so we really create our own truths. That's what's so powerful. We're more powerful than we know in that way. And for me, one of the things, like I said, in my own personal journey, I hadn't had an experience of being treated tenderly and respectfully by a man. I didn't have that kind of influence in my life growing up. And when I got to the age where I started dating, I would find myself in relationships with men who really treated me poorly and abusive and all sorts of stuff, neglectful. And I thought that was normal because that's all I knew. And so when you've only had a certain experience, it is hard to grasp something different. It's just hard. Like if someone has struggled financially all their lives, it's really hard to imagine being wealthy and just never having to worry about money because you haven't had that experience. But if you can hold that belief in your mind that anything is possible, and for me, one of the things that's been helpful, which I now counsel people on, is to know that being treated really well and lovingly is normal. It is what is to be expected. And, you know, coming from the place that I did, I used to think that was like really, really good treatment and almost like really high level, unreachable treatment. But I actually once dated a man, and he would tell me, I would thank him for treating me kindly. And he'd say, well, it's normal. It's normal to be kind. Mm. And every time I would say, like, wow, thanks for being so respectful, he would say, it's normal to be respectful. And if you've been with people who haven't treated you that, they were not normal. And it really helped me because he was right. It is normal to be nice. It's normal to be respectful. It's normal to be loving. There are a lot of people who aren't that way and who don't treat people that way. But that is what's possible, and that is something that that is here for us. And so if I would tell listeners who haven't had that experience to know that it's not out of reach. In fact, it is what you deserve and what you can command. It is normal. I like that word, you know, normal. Mm-hmm. It's not out of the ordinary, and don't think that it is, because it's just kind of basic. It's almost like the basic golden rule.
Yeah, I love the way that you said that, because I think sometimes there's a perception that, you know, like you said, just to be treated well is something extraordinary.
Right.
And yet, you know, that really should be, like you said, a basic tenet of any healthy relationship. And I think that it's important for women to recognize that so that we are not, you know, tempted to accept substandard treatment.
Exactly, because I feel that there is never a reason to settle. There's never a reason to settle for something that really doesn't feel that great to you, that isn't really what you desire. If you settle and accept that, you are the one accepting it. You're saying, okay, this is acceptable to me. But if you don't accept it, that means a new door will open for you that could be something that is acceptable to you and that is nice and normal.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I'm going to allow you to share a few final thoughts in just a moment, Heather, but I did want to bring to attention for our listeners a wonderful, wonderful free gift that you have specifically for the TeleSummit participants. And we're so grateful for your generosity on this. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, and so I'm excited to share this with you because Heather has offered to provide a video package containing 5 of her videos from her TV channel, Heather Hance TV. And this is specific for this audience of the TeleSummit, the Ready for the Right Guy TeleSummit. Can you just share just a little bit about it? And before you do, I want to let everyone know exactly how they can take advantage of this generous offer. You will just go to readyfortherightguy.com/Heather, and that's HEATHER. So again, that's readyfortherightguy.com/Heather. So can you just share just a little bit about this free gift with us, Heather?
Sure. So my show is, they're short video clips. They're usually between 3 and 5 minutes. And I've found that that's just enough for people's attention span and mm-hmm. also to really get in just a little nugget that you can think about and work with. And I have 5 different shows on here that will address relationships from different standpoints and go back again to the self-love piece and how we can really nurture that in ourselves. So I look at that. I look at what creates healthy relationships with ourselves and with others. And so it's a variety of videos and short enough that, you know, they're all 5 minutes or so. So you could watch the whole thing in one sitting or just watch them one at a time and kind of ponder them in between viewings.
That sounds wonderful. And I encourage each of you to take advantage of Heather's generous offer and to, you know, have an opportunity to go deeper and share more in her wisdom and teachings and know that this will be very valuable. So I want to give you an opportunity, Heather, before we sign off, just to share any closing thoughts or, you know, any last piece of wisdom that you might want to give our listeners today.
Thank you, Michelle. My final piece of wisdom or hope for the audience would be to hold that little bit of hope. Like I said, it just takes a little, but to hold out hope that what you desire, that a healthy, soulful, loving relationship is possible in your life. And if it's hard for you to grasp that, all you need to do is just hold a tiny bit of hope that it's possible. And that's it. You just need to hold that little bit that it's possible. You don't even have to go to the you don't even have to say it's going to happen, because sometimes if we don't feel that, it's hard to say it's going to happen. But mm-hmm. if you believe that it's possible, that leaves the door open. And as you continue to do this inner work and inner nurturing, this nurturing of yourself, that door will become wider and wider. So mm-hmm. just, yeah, hold the possibility.
I love that. Hold the possibility. So, Heather, I really want to thank you so much for your generous sharing of your wisdom and for your heartfelt expression today. I know that the participants are greatly blessed by having been here. And I also want to thank each of you as our participants for being with us here today. We know that life is busy, and congratulate you for taking time to take a stand for what you want most in your life. I also just want to quickly remind you that during the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit, you will have access to the best wisdom from over 20 love and relationship experts. You'll be able to listen to the broadcasts, and then replays will be available for 48 hours after each interview. And knowing this, though, that life is busy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews live, I want to also invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package and purchase the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews so that you can listen multiple times at your own convenience and have access to these calls in your own personal library. And we are offering special event pricing for the VIP upgrade package at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And the recordings are available during the summit for $97. So we encourage you to take advantage of that so that you have the opportunity to review this material and get maximum benefit from all of the interviews from each of the experts. I want to thank you for being here with us today, and I want to again thank our special guest, Heather Hantz, once again, and I also look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. So for now, we're sending you much love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.